British Sky Broadcasting and DreamWorks present The Ring 2, starring Naomi Watts as Rachel, David Dorfman as Aiden, and Simon Baker as Max. Directed by Hideo Nakata. Audio described by Therese Birch on behalf of MCS Agency. A young mother and her son move to a new city, Astoria in Oregon, to start a new life. But the nightmare they're trying to escape from is not going to be left behind. A stormy sea, waves crashing. Oily-looking water rippling. Black water with light reflected in it. Light glistening on shiny black water. A city at night. A car drives down a suburban street. The back of a girl's head as she sits on a sofa. Behind her, a boy bends down to whisper in her ear.
Hey. I want to show you something.
What?
He comes round to the front of the sofa and sits beside her.
Have you ever seen something so scary that you had to show to someone else? Yeah, I mean, like, you know, a movie or something.
Well...
Okay, I've got the scariest freaking movie you'll ever see. Yeah. A buddy of mine actually turned me on to it. And, he made me a copy, so I did one for you.
You brought me here to watch a video?
Well, 2 minutes. Okay, 2 minutes, and it'll all be over. It's totally underground stuff.
That we were gonna just...
Well, no, we will. We will. You just gotta see this. Okay, I'm telling you, it's...
How about after?
No, you need to watch it now. Okay?
She takes the tape off him.
What's so scary about it?
He takes her chin in his hand and gently pulls her face towards him and kisses her.
You'll see.
He stands up. She smiles. He leaves the room looking anxious, scratching his head. She smiles and looks down at the tape in her hand. The boy, looking scared, goes into the kitchen and looks at the clock on the microwave.
Play it. Just play a thing. Come on, I got 2 minutes here, please.
The girl walks towards the TV, her reflection in the screen. She kneels in front of the screen and slowly inserts the tape into the video machine. She looks at her reflection. Snowy interference on the TV. In the kitchen, the boy looks down at his arm, pulls up his sleeve and reveals the brown imprint of a hand on his forearm. The girl on the sofa looks over her shoulder, then at the snowy screen. She picks up the remote from the coffee table. The microwave clock says 10:58.
Emily, play the goddamn tape!
The boy pauses by the kitchen door. He turns round and slowly walks towards the sink. He leans on the worktop, head bowed, looking exhausted. On the TV, the girl watches a grainy black-and-white image of a woman brushing her long dark hair in an oval mirror. The boy looks over at the phone. On the tape, a lake, a burning tree, and the woman brushing her hair, who turns around. The boy walks towards the phone and picks it up and slumps to the floor.
Hello?
Hey, man, you made it. come through? You got somebody to watch it, huh?
Yeah, man. Some stupid chick from my school.
Good. I was afraid you didn't believe me, man. Now it's her problem. She doesn't get someone else to watch it in a week, I swear she's dead. So, did you tell her what happens, or are you just gonna let her find out for herself? Jake? Come on, it's over, dude. Jake. This isn't funny, man. Jake?
Emily?
The boy jumps up. Water is seeping under the kitchen door. He walks towards it. It flows around but doesn't touch his shoes.
Emily! Emily! Emily, what the hell did you do?
I played it, I just didn't look.
She has her hands over her face. She looks up at him. He looks over at the TV. There's a black and white image of bare trees. He falls to his knees in front of the TV. The room behind him fades, and he becomes part of the woods on the screen. In front of him, two slimy hands appear, gripping the top of a wall. A bedraggled girl with long hair jumps up towards him. Brief images of an animal's eye. Emily screams. The screen goes snowy, then black. A ring of light appears. The screen goes snowy. A digital camera screen shows a furniture showroom and a blonde, smiling woman, Rachel.
Come on, Aiden. Let's go home.
A little boy, Aiden, has photographed the woman, his mother. Rachel, attractive, with long hair, and Aiden are driving through the city. Behind them, a truck loaded with new furniture. They pause at a junction. They drive up a suburban street and pull up in front of a pale blue house. The truck parks behind them. Aiden and his mother push a new blue sofa into position in their sitting room. Rachel pushes a coffee table in front of it.
It was the right choice. No question.
In his bedroom in the loft, Aiden takes a photo out of his digital printer.
Aiden? Dinner's ready!
She takes a sunken pie out of the oven. Aiden shuts his photo album, tucks it under his arm, and carries it downstairs to the kitchen.
Okay, now before you say anything, I followed the recipe this time. So just because it doesn't look like the one in the magazine, doesn't mean to say it won't taste good.
She puts the pie on the table and leans over to look at Aiden's album.
Is it great, honey? Got a really good eye.
There's a photo of a metal bridge and of Aiden's shadow on the ground.
He'd be proud of you.
Thanks, Rachel.
You know, it wouldn't kill you to call me Mom now and again. Ma, Mommy, something besides Rachel.
Yeah, I like Rachel.
Well, Mom has its charms, too, you know.
But Rachel, you know, is more your personality.
Really? Well, Rachel declares dinner time.
She shuts his album and sits at the table.
It's working out great, don't you think? All this space and fresh air. We have a yard. It's really great.
She looks at Aiden quizzically. He looks down, expressionless.
Listen, honey. We didn't do anything wrong. We did what anyone would do. start it over.
The Daily Astorian building on the seafront. A car drives past. Inside, Rachel drinks a cup of coffee in her office.
Yeah.
Hey.
Hey.
You know how they can tell you used to work at a real newspaper? You're the only one who closes your door.
Habit.
Max, tall and handsome, looks around awkwardly, then sits down.
I wanted to talk to you about my editorial.
Those changes okay?
Well, I asked you to copy edit it, and you rewrote it.
Well, just the part about the bond measure.
That was the whole thing.
Well, it's the bridge that'd get the money, not the riverfront.
Yeah. Rachel, you know, a big news day in Astoria is a school board meeting, a car wreck, and a cat in a tree. Now, that's big news. Now, are you sure this is the job you're looking for?
Well, I'm around for my son more. In Seattle, I wasn't.
Good a reason as any. I'm glad to see you're settling in. I like to...
Hey, Max, while you're here, have you given any thought to that piece for tomorrow?
You know what? Don't you worry about it.
It's 442 Ridgecrest.
Rachel leaves her office, taking her coat off the stand.
Ridgecrest. I've already talked to the medical examiner. They're on their way.
Squad 19 to respond.
Squad 19, keep this channel clear, please.
It's the police. They found a body.
Possible homicide.
Please, we should be so lucky.
What are they saying?
A high school student, male, 17, address 442 Ridgecrest. Found the house partially flooded and a girlfriend hiding in the basement. Suspect or witness, they don't know.
Guy was dead on the living room floor right in front of the TV.
They keep on talking about his face.
What about his face?
Nighttime. Emergency vehicles parked by a taped-off area. Two policemen lead a dazed Emily out of the house to a police car. Rachel pulls up in her car and gets out. She watches a girl reporter duck under the tape to talk to a detective. As she walks over, a body under a sheet is wheeled out on a trolley. She stops and watches as it's loaded into an ambulance. She looks over at Emily, sitting in the back of the police car, staring out of the darkness, her long hair hanging over her face. Emily stares back at Rachel through the rain-spattered window. Rachel looks unnerved as the car pulls away, lights flashing. She turns and, looking determined, walks over to the ambulance. She opens the side door and peers in. She climbs in next to the sheet-covered body. She pulls back the sheet. Underneath is a black body bag. Looking anxious, she starts to unzip it, shutting her eyes and grimacing. She pulls open the bag. She gasps, hand clamped over her mouth, as she sees the boy's grey face, his mouth twisted open in horror and eyes wide open. She backs away and sits down, hand still over her mouth.
No, he's not here.
Hearing someone coming, she stands up and zips up the bag. The zip catches. A girl with long wet hair sits up from the bag and grabs Rachel's arm. She pulls herself free and falls to the floor. She struggles up and looks over at the corpse. She sees the boy's tortured face again. She sits in her car.
We only made one copy.
She walks into the police station.
Excuse me, sir.
Yeah.
Hi, I'm Rachel Keller from the Daily Historian.
We'll make a statement.
I need to know about the girl.
We'll make a statement.
She hasn't said a word, has she?
You're welcome to wait. Excuse me.
Rachel puts her ID away. She looks over and sees Emily with her parents and a detective in an office.
You can't keep her here. She's scared. We want to take her home.
She'll talk to
us. I understand your concerns. I just need to ask her a few questions in private. Just take a minute, okay? Be right back, Emily. Thank you.
Rachel looks over to the desk sergeant. He's on the phone. Emily is alone. Rachel walks over to her through a half door and leans over her. Emily looks straight ahead.
Emily, listen to me. I know what happened. I know. Now you have to tell me. The tape.
Emily turns to Rachel.
Did you watch it?
Crying, Emily shakes her head.
Do you know who else has watched it? Has anyone else watched it? Then where is it?
Hey, you! Get away from her! Ray!
Emily, talk to me.
Wander out of here. Now.
You can tell me, Emily.
It's still dark. Rachel pulls up outside the dead boy's house. She gets out. She walks around the back to the French windows and tries the handles. It's locked. Rachel kneels on a path and looks underneath pebbles bordering it. She reaches under a hedge and pulls out a fake pebble with a key inside it. Inside the house, she walks into the sitting room. She looks over at the TV and the stained carpet. As she walks over to the TV, she looks down at the soaked carpet squelching around her shoes and stops. She tiptoes forward and crouches, frowning, in front of the video. She ejects the tape and holds it. She drives fast along a country road. She parks in the shadows and gets out. She takes a red petrol can from the boot. Looking around, she hurries through the woods towards the sea. She stops, pours petrol into a metal bin, and lights it with a match. Flames explode. She pulls the tape out of the cassette and throws it into the flames. The cassette melts, opening up like a mouth. She breathes heavily, her tousled hair over her eyes. Hands on hips, she watches the tape melt. In Rachel's house, the TV comes to life with a ring of light on the black screen. Aiden is asleep in bed. His eyes flicker open. He lifts his head, then sits up. He gets up and walks downstairs to the sitting room, which is in darkness except for the TV flickering.
Rachel? Rachel?
He goes over to the coffee table and picks up the remote, and holding it at arm's length, tries to switch off the TV with it. It doesn't work.
Rachel!
He creeps over to the TV and kneels in front of the snowy screen. He touches the TV and reels back as a black and white image of misty woods appears. He looks down at his hand on the carpet, which is sodden. He glances at the new sofa. Water pours off it like a waterfall. He opens his mouth in horror. Water streams across the carpet towards him. On all fours, he backs towards the TV and sits up. A figure with long wet hair reaches out of the TV and grabs Aiden by the neck with clawed hands, dragging him backwards through the screen.
Freezing. Let's get you out of these clothes. Come on. Aiden? What happened in your nightmare?
I woke up and you weren't here. You weren't here.
I'm here now, honey. I'm right here, okay? Listen. All you have to do is call my name and I'll follow your voice. Okay? Even if I have to come right down into that nightmare with you. So tell me what happened.
Aiden looks over at his goldfish tank next to the bed.
I don't remember.
You don't remember?
I don't remember.
He jumps out of bed. Rachel touches the sodden sheet. Aiden, looking serious, older than his years, bags under his eyes, his face pale. He sits alone, expressionless, on a bench, watching his classmates playing on the grass amongst the jets of water sprinklers in the school playground in the sunshine. His mother comes up to collect him.
I've been calling your name. I'm sorry. You ready to go? Okay.
Aiden gets up. Rachel rests her hand on his shoulder. They walk over to the car. A lighthouse. People look out at the sea from the top behind railings. A metal bridge spans the water. It's grey and stormy. Rachel and Aiden drive along a country road, through the shadows of tall conifers that line the route. They pull off by a church into a muddy car park. There are lots of cars parked already. There is a country fair in progress in a field. They park and get out. It's overcast and wet underfoot.
So we'll just swing by and see what they have, okay? And you can keep a watch in the backyard, so how's that?
They walk past stalls.
Look at all this stuff. Who do you think buys this crap?
He playfully taps her.
Rachel.
Sorry. What's wrong, honey? You all right?
I'm just a little cold, Rachel. I'm gonna take a look around.
All right. Stay close.
She watches him wander off and starts to follow him. He walks past a rack of Stetsons, past two women having their faces painted. He stops and focuses his camera on their smiling faces. Rachel picks up some scarves on a stall. She runs her hand over a row of videos. She looks down at a plain black one, touches it, and stares at it, frowning. Aiden stops and looks over at two deer grazing. The stag looks up suddenly. The large animal with full antlers shakes its head as Aiden stares at it. He looks troubled and turns away, walking past a rocking horse. Rachel anxiously searches for Aiden.
Aiden!
He walks into the gloomy gents' lavatory. Rachel hurries past children on a carousel and the empty rocking horse.
Aiden!
In the empty toilets, Aiden turns on the taps. Next to the basin, a panel vibrates. The water stops. Rachel looks around, panicking, and starts to run.
Aiden!
Aiden tries the tap again. It drips. He leans forward. A fly emerges from the tap and lands on the soap dispenser. He watches it fly off. He turns and moves towards a cubicle. He pauses and looks in the mirror, wide-eyed. Behind his reflection is a young girl with long, wet hair over her face. He turns round, frowning to see if she's really there. She isn't. He slowly turns back to the mirror and holds up his camera, taking several shots. The girl's face appears in close-up.
Aiden!
Rachel is running through the fair. She spots the gents. She looks in and, perplexed, sees Aiden standing in front of the mirror taking photos.
Why didn't you answer me, honey? What are you... Jesus. Jesus, you're freezing, honey. What's going on? Are you sick? Talk to me, honey. Talk to me. What's going on? What is it?
I'm cold.
She hugs him. They are speeding along a tree-lined road. Rachel feels Aiden's forehead.
Honey, when did this start? Was it last night? Or this morning?
I don't remember.
Look, I know you don't like me prying, but this is important, okay? Was it your nightmare?
I really don't remember, Rachel.
I need you to try. You're sick, all right? And we need to know what started it.
Aiden. Was she in your nightmare?
Aiden slowly turns away from the car window and looks at his mother with a troubled expression. She stares at him.
Rachel!
A stag steps into the road in front of them. Rachel brakes and swerves, coming to a halt next to it. She tries to drive off. It steps in front of them.
Don't stop! Don't stop! Go! Drive! Drive! Just don't stop the car!
The stag walks away regally. Rachel watches confused. She puts the back of her hand against her mouth. The stag crashes through the driver's window.
Get down!
Another crashes through Aiden's window. Rachel's foot reaches for the accelerator and they speed off. Aiden turns round to see the stags fall to the ground. As he faces the front, another stag charges head-on and bounces off the roof of the car, shattering the back window. The car swerves to a halt. Rachel looks through the cracked windscreen.
Don't stop. You said don't stop.
A group of stags appear and surround the car. Rachel and Aiden look frozen with fear as they stare out of the cracked windscreen. Aiden looks around nervously. A stag stands so close to Aiden's window that he sees his face reflected in its eye. Breathing heavily, Rachel moves the car forward a few inches, then drives off, leaving the group of stags still standing in the road. Aiden is lying down, holding a thermometer in his mouth.
Okay.
Rachel takes it out and reads it, frowning. It says 93.9.
It's impossible. Rachel? What's happening?
They look over at his fish tank. The fish are dead on the bottom.
Yeah, hi. My son is very sick, and I'd like to talk to someone who... Well, it's his temperature. It's 5 degrees low.
A nightlight burns. Aiden looks at it. He pulls up his covers. Rachel puts a copy of the Health and Disease book on the kitchen table, resting the phone on her shoulder. She thumbs through to hypothermia.
Yeah. Well, then I'll hold for the on-call nurse.
The light flickers and goes out.
Hello? Hello?
A shadow passes over Aiden's face as he sleeps. He pulls the covers over his head. The bedroom window blows open. Rachel tries the kitchen light switch. It doesn't work. She hurries over to try another switch. It doesn't work. She runs into the hall and tries the lights there, standing at the foot of the stairs.
Aiden? Honey, the power just went out. Are you okay up there? Aiden?
She runs upstairs and over to the window.
Honey, this shouldn't be open.
She shuts the window, then freezes and looks over her shoulder. In the corner of the room, a little girl with long hair stands facing the wall, scratching the wallpaper with her nails.
Aiden, let's go. Get out of bed.
Rachel pulls back the covers. The bed is empty. The figure by the wall is Aiden.
What are you doing over there?
Get back in bed right now.
I saw something.
The wall behind Aiden dissolves into the shape of a burning tree. They look up at the ceiling, which is now ablaze.
I saw it. I saw it in my head.
It's still dark. Rachel and Aiden drive up to the Daily Astorian building in their battered car and park outside. Rachel gets out and helps Aiden out. He's wrapped in a blue blanket. She ushers him into the newsroom. The staff watch confused as Rachel shepherds Aiden into her office. Max looks on from the doorway. Rachel and Aiden sit on the sofa.
Now listen, sweetie. Last night, I found a tape. It was one of hers. And I made it so we'd never have to see it again. But if she knows that, what I did might make her want to hurt us. Am I right? Do you know something, honey? Look, if you know why she's here, you have to tell me.
Aiden?
Is she here to hurt you? Honey?
Expressionless, Aiden looks over his mother's shoulder at the dark wall of the office. Rachel follows his gaze.
Rachel, may I come in, please?
Yeah.
Max comes in.
What happened to your car? Your car, apparently it's wrecked. Are you guys okay?
Yeah. We got hit.
And no one's hurt? That's good. Aiden, right? Hi, I'm Max.
Aiden ignores Max's outstretched hand.
Is he all right?
He's sick.
How sick?
Rachel looks at Aiden, then stands up.
Max, I need your help.
It's dark. A truck pulls up outside a large, imposing white house. Rachel and Max get out. Max is carrying Aiden. They run up the steps to the front door. Max carries Aiden upstairs into a bedroom and puts him to bed.
I'll get some more blankets. The house is yours if there's anything you need at all.
Thank you.
Shouldn't he be in a hospital?
No, he's fine. The bath?
Yeah, it's just down the hall. It's dark.
Go home and get some of her things. Then we'll leave here and never come back. Okay?
Aiden nods. She hugs him. Max kneels by the bath. Rachel and Aiden come in.
Warm bath.
It's not the best water pressure, but it works.
Right, thanks. I don't know why we lost power. The rest of the block seems fine.
Well, I have plenty of candles in case the problem spreads.
Okay, let's go ahead and get in. Get you warmed up. Max, I just need to go back to my house, get a few things, some medicine. Do you mind if you could...
Oh, I'll watch him, of course.
Okay, thanks. Honey, go ahead and get in. Let's go. Let's go. I need to raise your temperature. Let's get in. Aiden, what's wrong? It's just water. We need to raise your temperature, honey. Now, come on.
I don't want to, Rachel.
Do you want me to get in with you? Let's go, then. Aiden, come on, let's go. That's it. Come on, honey. Let's go. Let's go. That's it. That's it. That's better, right? See? some more. It's okay. Just relax.
Aiden is tense and shaking, gripping the sides of the bath. Rachel leaves. Aiden watches the tap running. The plug hole becomes a well with swirling black water. Aiden is transfixed. Rachel pulls up outside her house in Max's truck. She gets out and pauses, looking up at the house. She goes up to the front steps. The house is in darkness. She climbs upstairs to Aiden's loft room with a bag. She pauses on the stairs. She enters his dark bedroom and takes clothes out of a chest of drawers, putting them in the bag. She goes over to his desk and picks up his digital camera. She starts to look at the last pictures he's taken of the lady with face paint and a clown. The next picture is of Aiden in the gents' toilet mirror with a girl in the background. Rachel frowns. The image of the girl moves and her face merges with Aiden's. Rachel shuts her eyes. Max goes upstairs at his house towards the open bathroom door. He goes into another room to answer the phone.
Hello?
Officer Ray.
How you doing?
Yeah, good, good.
All right, what do you got for me? Right? Yeah. Yeah, well, that all sounds like page 26. Have any headlines?
No.
Well, business is business. Yeah. No, I'm good. Real good. Hey, listen, could you do me a little favor while I've got you? Could you look into your accident reports for today and see if there was an accident with a woman and her son? K for Keller. No, I'm just trying to get a story straight. Ray, let me call you right back. Okay.
The bathroom door has shut. Max goes over to it.
Everything okay in there?
He tries the handle.
Aiden, could you unlock the door, please? Aiden, can you hear me?
Max looks down as water pours from under the door. Rachel pulls up outside Max's house and hurries in, carrying the bag.
Aiden, he's in the bath. I don't know. It was open a second ago.
Aiden, open the door.
I'm gonna get something to break it.
Aiden, open up the door. I'm right here. Honey, can you hear me? Please, you need to open up the door. Aiden? Aiden?
She kneels by the door. Water pours out of the keyhole. She looks at the flooded floor. She looks up. Water pours from the top of the door.
Aiden! Aiden! Please, open it!
The handle turns on its own. The door flies open. Aiden is cowering in the bath, water streaming upwards from the bath and pooling on the ceiling. Rachel hesitates and rushes in. She slips on the floor and scrambles over to the bath. Two grey, slimy hands are on Aiden's back, pulling him under the water. Rachel grabs Aiden by the shoulders. He looks down. He looks up. His eyes have gone white. She recoils. They return to normal. The water on the ceiling cascades down, rushing out of the door. Rachel is flattened. She gets up. The bath is full. She reaches in to drag Aiden out. She pulls up the girl with long hair. She wrestles her down into the bath. Max runs up the flooded stairs. As he enters the bathroom, he sees Rachel pushing Aiden underwater.
Rachel, no!
Rachel pulls Aiden up. Max looks on, horrified. Aiden has two hand marks on his back.
I'm sorry. It wasn't him.
Okay, Rachel, let's just get him out of there.
Max turns off the tap. Rachel lifts Aiden out. Max puts a towel over him.
Why is she doing this to me?
I'm here now, babe.
Why is she doing this to me?
It's okay, Aiden. We're gonna get you better. We're gonna get you to a hospital.
No! They can't do anything.
You asked for my help. You're gonna get my help when he gets to a hospital, Rachel.
Max ushers Aiden out of the bathroom. Rachel looks heartbroken and starts to sob, kneeling by the bath. Astoria City Hospital. Aiden is in bed.
We're working to raise his core temperature. He was at 90 degrees when he came in. He wasn't outside overnight?
No. He was at home with me.
A body doesn't develop severe hypothermia on its own. Whatever the cause, he's fighting it. Seems like he's stabilizing.
And he's just sleeping now.
Right. And having some kind of dream.
His eyelids flicker. Rachel sits alone with a coffee in the canteen. Max comes in and goes to the coffee machine.
What's the story, Rachel?
Stabilized his temperature.
I mean the story with you and Aiden. You seem awfully hard on him.
She looks down. Max sits at her table.
Look, I know it's a stressful time for you. Moving. It's a whole new life. Maybe if you tell me.
She shakes her head.
All I ever tried to do for him was the right thing. It only ever made things worse.
Then it wasn't the right thing, was it?
She looks down. She lifts her head. He stares at her, concerned. She looks down at Aiden's camera with the image of him and the girl. She turns it round.
What do you see?
Well, it's Aiden. Is that a girl there?
Why is she in the picture?
Why? How would I know?
Why is she in all of them? Her name's Samara. She was murdered by her mother, left to die at the bottom of a well.
Wait, she's who?
She didn't die. At least, not her ghost. I kept it alive for Aiden. I let it out. It spread, and then we ran.
What are you talking about?
Look, I know this sounds completely crazy, but she's here now. She's found us. And I thought it was just to hurt Aiden, but it's more than that. She wants to be him, and she wants to live for real this time.
Rachel puts her hands over her eyes.
Rachel, I'm sure there's a rational explanation.
You take his picture and tell me why she's in it.
Rachel.
You take his picture.
And it's proof that he's what, Rachel? That he's got a ghost inside him?
No. The proof is what will happen.
She gets up and walks away, leaving the camera on the table. Max picks it up.
Aiden, you said Samara couldn't hear us when we slept. You're sleeping now. Tell me how to stop her, honey. Tell me how to help you. Just tell me I'll do anything, I swear.
Rachel leans over and kisses Aiden as he lies on his back in the hospital bed. As she leans back, he grabs her wrist and squeezes it. Over his closed eye is the image of bubbling water, a new moon, a fountain, shadows of children in a circle holding hands, an embroidered flower on a suitcase being carried along, a Madonna and child, the words "For Samara" on a page, a woman with long dark hair turning away, a tree, a dripping tap, a girl, a baby. The woman falls off a cliff into the sea, a deer's skull, an eclipse of the moon. Aiden lets go of Rachel's wrist.
Aiden. Aiden.
Miss Keller? Hello, I'm Dr. Emma Temple. I'm a consulting physician at County Child Services. I was hoping to speak with Aiden when he wakes up.
Rachel smiles nervously.
Is everything all right in here?
Yeah, it's fine. Thank you.
I was hoping to speak with you as well. It's Rachel, isn't it? Yeah, about his situation.
I'm sorry, what kind of doctor did you say you were again?
I'm a psychiatrist.
Yeah.
I spoke with a doctor, Koji in Seattle, Aiden's doctor.
Look, if we could maybe talk later.
Right, Dr. Koji mentioned that you dealt with some PPD when Aiden was born. Postpartum depression.
That was the first month, that's all.
I understand. It's very common. I mean, a lot of women have trouble adapting to the stresses of motherhood.
What does this have to do with what's going on with my son right now?
Have you been under stress lately? Have you ever found that you were unable to experience love? Aiden?
What?
Have you hurt him? However unintentionally, have you left him alone, abandoned him?
I'd like to be with my son, please, if you don't mind.
Yeah, of course. I'm sorry, Rachel.
The doctor presses a red alarm button.
Until we can talk further, I cannot let you be alone with him.
I'm his mother.
There are bruises on his body. He was hypothermic and very near death.
It's not because of me.
The doctor looks skeptical. Three hospital staff come into the room.
He's going to be all right, Rachel. He will. But you need to leave. Now, please.
Rachel leans over Aiden. Rachel sits on steps outside a hire car company. She drives into Seattle in a silver hire car. She goes into Washington State Adoption Agency.
All I want to know is what her history was before the Morgans.
I'm sorry, but the privacy laws still apply.
Well, was she really adopted? Can you at least tell me that much? Was her story true?
Samara Morgan was adopted, yes.
But you won't tell me from who?
I'd lose my job if I did.
Look, ma'am, my son has a medical condition that his doctors don't even understand. This little girl had the same condition. Now, if I knew what caused that, it could save his life.
All I can say is you should speak to the Morgans.
They're dead. They both killed themselves.
Swirling water. Rachel drives over a massive bridge. She rubs her forehead, looking tense. Churning water, waves crashing on rocks, a lighthouse, cliffs, she drives along a country road. She pulls off onto grass and parks. She gets out and stares at a farmhouse. She walks towards a metal gate, past a mailbox with the name Morgan on it. She climbs over the gate and walks down the drive looking nervous. A pink balloon hangs from a tree. She approaches the white weatherboard house. She pauses before going up steps to the front door. As she reaches out for the handle, a man in a suit holding balloons opens the door.
Whoa! Look out, early birds. Marty Savin, Stevens, Northwest Realty.
Hi.
Come in. I thought I put 12:30 on the ad for the open house. How'd you get around the gate?
Well, I just...
Ah, who cares? Come on. Make me an offer over asking, and it's yours. Okay, then. Don't mind me. My first try with these things took off flying.
He ties the balloons to the banister.
There we go. What do you think?
A little color will really turn the place around.
I tell you what, it's got a wonderful history. Working horse ranch. How about that? And there's even this this cute little treehouse thing way up in the barn.
Is the place being sold unfurnished, or previous owners didn't leave anything behind?
No, there were some things that were left after they moved. We're storing all that in the basement for the time being.
There's a basement.
Well, you betcha. No extra charge. Right this way.
She hangs back and notices an oval shape on the wall left by a mirror or picture.
If you don't mind, I'm the welcome wagon. Gotta open up the gate for everyone else. So, please, just make yourself at home.
Do you know what happened to them? The previous owners?
I believe they bought a condo in Phoenix.
Really?
He looks shifty. She opens a hatch. She pauses, then slowly descends the steps, brushing cobwebs out of the way. The basement is dark. She switches on a light. With a start, she notices the oval mirror. Her reflection is blurred. She wipes a smear off it, relieved that her image is clear. She walks forward and switches on another light. She looks up at lots of bleached antlers hanging from the ceiling. She pushes her hair back. On the floor is a large heap of antlers. She leans over and touches a miniature carousel, setting it off. Her eyes fall on a suitcase with an embroidered flower on it. She opens it and takes out a shirt with the words Women's Shelter on it. She takes out a scrapbook with a Madonna and child on the cover. Inside, it says, For Samara. She strokes the cover. A light goes out. Rachel turns the pages. There is a picture of children in a circle holding hands, and an etching of a baby in the womb. On the next page is an old painting of a woman lying in water captioned, "Vessels of Death." On the next page, a newspaper cutting, heavily ringed, "Young Daughter in Bathtub." Another light goes out. On the next page, a photo of a dark-haired woman holding a baby. She shuts the book and is startled when another light goes out. Aidan is asleep. His eyes flicker open. He looks around. Rachel carries the scrapbook across a wooden bridge up the drive. She stops and looks over her shoulder, back at the house. Aidan is sitting up in bed. The psychiatrist comes into the room. A doctor and nurse leave.
Hello, Aidan. I'm Dr. Temple. How are you feeling?
Aidan looks down. He is deathly pale.
Aidan? You know, I'd really like to help you. Can you tell me how you're feeling?
Where's my mommy?
Well, she'll be here soon. She's on her way.
I want mommy.
Yeah, I know you do. Your mommy wants to be with you, too.
So where is she?
She went home. She didn't think that you were going to wake up so soon.
I want to go home, too.
Well, you will. We just have to get you.
She touches his hand.
You're freezing.
I want to go home to mommy.
Well, we need to talk about her. Can you tell me about mommy a little bit?
She loves me.
Yeah. Well, I know that she does.
She went looking for me. She tried to find me. I mean, she loves me.
I don't understand.
Can I go home now?
No, honey, you're not well enough.
Can I go home?
No.
Aidan stares at her. She smiles. His head is bowed.
I'm sorry.
He looks up at her.
And I have to show you something.
He looks away. She watches him. His head is bowed. She reaches for a drawer and opens it. She takes out a large syringe, holds it up, and takes the cap off the needle. She retracts the syringe, staring at him. She turns it towards her face and holds it against her neck under her jaw. She plunges it in. Holding the syringe, her hand falls limply by her side. Aidan's head is still bowed. The syringe falls from her hand. She stares ahead with a vacant expression. Her head falls onto her chest. Aidan looks up, blinking. Dressed, he walks down the hospital corridor, ignored by visitors and staff. A big Victorian building, the women's shelter. Rachel is in a large, dimly lit office.
Her name was Evelyn. She came to us 8 months pregnant.
Did she have her baby here?
Yes.
And you arranged for the adoption?
That's right.
And the father?
There was none. Half the mothers that come to us say that.
So what did she think got her pregnant?
Evelyn wasn't well. She'd been having problems during the pregnancy. Hallucinations, visions. She believed something had come for her baby from the waters of the world beyond this one.
I'm sorry, did you say water?
Well, we all envision the afterlife differently. For Evelyn, it's just what she believed. As you might imagine, she suffered severe postpartum depression. She blamed her troubles on her child. So she tried to kill it.
Rachel, startled, follows the woman past a dormitory where there's a nun with young women.
All babies are a challenge. But Samara, she never cried. Never. Except when her mother would try to bathe her. Then she'd scream like it was the end of the world.
Rachel and the woman pause by a window.
It was the screaming that woke us.
Rachel notices a fountain below. She sees a woman carrying a baby, a new moon, and a nun leaning out of the window.
Evelyn, don't!
Evelyn climbs into the fountain and crouches with the baby. Two nuns run over in the moonlight, snatch the baby from her, and carry it away.
She was trying to drown the baby. The baby was taken from her, of course. Evelyn was institutionalized. And all those pictures she'd been collecting, they finally made sense.
Did she say why she did it?
She felt she had to kill her baby to save it.
Rachel stares out of the window, looking fearful. Aiden walks calmly alongside a railway track on a wooden bridge in the sunshine. He crosses a junction past a red tram. He looks over his shoulder and slowly and deliberately crosses the road. Rachel walks up to a hospital reception desk.
I'm here to see a patient. Her name's Evelyn. I don't know her last name.
Evelyn.
That's right.
Evelyn is expecting you. Every few years, one of you comes to see Evelyn. She's like a freaking patron saint or something. Got a problem with your kid, don't you?
Rachel pauses in the corridor.
Something wrong?
That song. I know it.
Yeah, they all do. Hey, Evelyn. You were right as rain. You got a visitor today. Hope she's some help to your troubles.
A figure with long dark hair sits at a desk under a window.
My name's Rachel. But you know that.
She carries on cutting out, her back to Rachel.
Some days I sort of have a feeling.
A feeling?
This is about your child.
It's
about yours.
It's
Samara.
Evelyn stops cutting and looks over her shoulder.
They don't dream, you know. The dead don't dream.
Look, something's happened to my son.
You have to sleep to dream.
And it has to do with your daughter.
And the dead never sleep. They wait. Watch for a way back.
Look, I'm sorry. I don't have a lot of time. Please, I need your help. I have to know. Can you tell me? Why did you try to kill your baby?
Why? Because my baby told me to. Just like yours would tell you. And you have to do it. You have to send it back.
Enough.
I love my son.
Come on. All right. I'm sorry, ma'am. That's enough for today. Let's go.
What did I do? You let the dead get in.
Let's go.
The male nurse leads Rachel out, leaving Evelyn hunched, her dark, straggly hair over her face, surrounded by piles of newspapers.
What should I do? Be a good mother. Listen to your baby.
Rachel nods.
Listen to your baby.
The nurse bundles her out. Aiden is at home alone. It's dusk. Max pulls up in his truck outside the house. He notices the light is on as he walks up to the front door. He looks through the window and sees Aiden on the sofa using the remote.
Aiden?
He lets himself in. Aiden is staring at a snowy TV screen.
Hey. Shouldn't you be at the hospital?
No, I'm here waiting for my mommy.
Well, you can't really leave till the hospital says it's okay. You were very, very sick. You're all right now?
Aiden nods.
The cable's set up at my house. The TV needs to be on channel 3.
She loves me. She loves me not.
Thank you, Max.
She loves me not.
Sure.
Max removes the camera from his pocket, takes off his jacket and sits down, looking over at Aiden, who's watching cartoons on TV.
Your mom loves you, you know. She loves you a lot.
Aiden smiles enigmatically and nods.
You'd tell someone if you weren't sure about that, right? Like if she'd been hurting you somehow. She ever treats you like you're someone else?
I'm not somebody else.
No, I know.
I'm Aiden.
Hey, I know.
You don't need anyone else.
Yeah, that's right.
We don't need you, that doctor, or anyone else. Okay?
Max nods.
Okay.
Hello, Chutney. Dad is here. You want to see him?
Pathetic grin. Max aims the camera at Aiden.
What are you doing?
I was just going to take a picture of you.
No.
Well, it'll be for your mom.
No.
Why not? Why not? What's wrong with taking a picture?
I'll tell you what's wrong if you promise not to take it. But that's only if you promise.
Fine, I promise.
Max puts the camera on automatic and places it on a table, pointing at Aiden. He notices its red light flashing.
So, Aiden, what's the story?
Rachel pulls up outside the house, noticing the lights are on. She walks into the gloomy kitchen and puts her bag on the table.
Hello?
She goes into the sitting room. She notices Max's jacket on the chair. She looks nervous.
Max? Are you here?
She picks up the remote from the table and turns off the TV. Aiden grabs her from behind.
I thought you were at the hospital.
No, I'm here, Mommy.
What did you say?
I sent him here.
Is Max here?
No.
But his coat.
Aiden looks over at the jacket.
He went away. You want to watch some TV with me?
I just have to get something from the car, okay?
Aiden puts his hand on Rachel's.
I love you, Mommy.
Rachel steps outside onto the porch and sees Max's truck. She walks up to it. The engine is running and the cab windows are misted up. She goes to the driver's door and knocks on the window.
Max.
She opens the door. Max is slumped over the wheel, head resting on his hands. She touches him.
Max?
He falls back, his mouth hideously distorted as if in a scream, and eyes wide open. She stares at him, then puts her hands over her eyes. She turns away and closes the door, grimacing, and sinks to her knees. She comes through the front door looking anguished. Aiden is on the sofa.
While on the other hand,
Rachel walks past Aiden without looking at him. He is looking happy watching TV. She goes into her bedroom and sinks to the floor behind the door, sobbing, her face in her hands. It's daylight. Rachel is in bed, clothed. Aiden is with her.
Rachel. Are you sleeping, Rachel? I am. She makes me sleep all the time now.
Aiden.
Shh. Just keep sleeping, Rachel. So she can't hear us. It's the only way. You know, you have to show her, Rachel. Show her she can't stay.
In you. How? How do I do that?
Take me to where she's afraid of.
The bath.
You know where she's afraid of. Take me there. And kill me.
Aiden, no.
Shh, Rachel, keep sleeping. She won't stay if she knows you'll kill me. It's the only way.
I can't do it. I can't.
And she stays. She's heard us.
Aiden jumps out of bed. Rachel sits up. It's dark. She's alone in bed. She stands by the sofa in the sitting room.
Honey?
I thought you were sleeping, Mommy.
I was, but I had a bad dream.
You must have had a nightmare. It's all right. We all have. Will you stay with me now?
Stay?
Stay for always.
Rachel frowns and nods.
Alrighty. Let's watch some TV together.
Oh, it's kind of late, honey. Don't you think you should sleep?
I never sleep.
Aiden's eyes bore into Rachel.
Then let Mommy make you something.
In the kitchen, Rachel spreads strawberry jam on toast. She picks up a bottle of pills from the table. She takes the cap off and through a hatch looks over to Aiden, who's absorbed in the TV. She empties a capsule of powder over the toast. She looks into the distance as if realizing what she's doing. She shuts her eyes. She goes into the sitting room carrying two plates of toasted jam sandwiches in one hand, a glass of milk in the other. She sits down next to Aiden and hands him a plate. She tucks her hair behind her ear and takes a bite of her sandwich, watched by Aiden.
Something wrong? You seem sad.
No, honey, I'm not sad. Just tired, that's all.
You have me to protect you.
Aiden looks knowing. Rachel nods sadly. Aiden inspects his sandwich and takes a bite. Rachel looks at him. He studies his sandwich again and takes another bite. He chews his sandwich and watches a cartoon. Rachel is tucking Aiden into her bed. Rachel pushes open the bathroom door.
Be a good mother.
She turns on the bath tap. Aiden stirs, blinking and frowning. Rachel looks out of the window and sees an image of a tree on fire. It disappears. A tap drips. Rachel holds the lifeless, fully clothed Aiden in her arms over the bath. She gently lowers him in. She leans over him.
I'm sorry. I'm so sorry. But you can't stay.
She starts to push his head under the water.
What are you doing? Rachel! What are you doing? It's me. It's not her, Rachel.
I know, babe.
It's me. I love you. Mommy, I love you.
I know, baby. I love you too.
She hesitates, then holds him underwater. The room sways behind her. Aiden opens his mouth and black ink flows from it into the water. Rachel frowns and shuts her eyes as she holds him down. She opens her eyes. The bath is full of black sludge. She pulls her arm out and recoils. The girl with long hair sits up and floats up into the air. Rachel cowers on the floor looking up. Aiden's face appears behind the curtain of long hair. The figure dissolves and flows back into the bath. Rachel sits up and kneels by the bath. Aiden's lifeless body lies in the empty bath.
Aiden. 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 Aiden.
She reaches in and hauls him out and holds him on her lap.
Baby, breathe. Please, I know it's you, honey. Aiden! Aiden, please!
He opens his eyes.
Rachel. Yeah. I'm right here.
She strokes his cheek.
You're okay. Everything's all right, honey.
She holds him in a tight embrace. They're startled. They walk into the dark sitting room.
No.
The TV is on. There is a flickering image of woods and a well. The girl emerges from the well. Rachel slowly walks towards the TV.
Rachel, what are you doing?
All she wants is a mother. That's all she wants. And she'll keep coming till she finds one.
Come on, come back! Get away from her! Rachel! Get away from her!
She kneels in front of the TV.
You can't have my son. So take me.
Rachel! No!
Close up, the girl on the TV screen, Samara, stretches out her arms through the screen towards Rachel.
Rachel! Rachel!
Rachel grabs her hands and is pulled into the TV and down a long, dark well into the swirling water below. She surfaces, gasping. She looks up at the partially covered opening of the well.
Samara! Here I am, Samara! Just like you wanted. But you leave him alone! You hear me?
She grips the sides of the well, looking up. A view of Rachel seen from below her under the water. She looks around anxiously. She looks up again at the top of the well.
It's always open. Her only way out is always open.
She looks over at the sides of the well and prepares to climb, gripping the bricks with her fingers. She starts to haul herself up, a view of her legs under the water. She hangs from the wall, her legs still in the water. Catching the light, bubbles come up to the surface. Unaware of the bubbles, with great effort, Rachel heaves herself up. The bubbles increase. The water is churning. Rachel looks down anxiously. She watches the bubbles. The water becomes still. A grey, weed-covered hand reaches up out of the water. Rachel watches in horror. Samara surfaces from the water, arms outstretched, covered in weed, her long, dark hair plastered over her face. Her skin is grey. Rachel looks up desperately, trying to haul herself up out of Samara's reach. Samara starts climbing, quickly, like a crab, up the sheer wall. Rachel is just ahead of her. Samara is gaining on her. Rachel loses her grip and slides down a little. She looks over her shoulder at Samara and starts climbing again. Samara has nearly caught up with her. Rachel reaches the top of the well, placing her hands over the edge of the wall. Samara grabs her ankle. As she heaves herself upwards, she looks back, kicking out at Samara. She loses her footing on the slippery brickwork. She dislodges a brick, and water pours in through the hole and over Samara, flushing her back down into the well. With great difficulty, Rachel tries to haul herself out. Samara surfaces and starts climbing again. Rachel looks back and climbs out of the well. She runs around the heavy stone cover, which is half off, and tries to move it.
Mommy! Not your fucking mommy!
With superhuman effort, Rachel slides the heavy stone lid over the well. She grips the edge of the lid, head bowed in relief. Bedraggled, she straightens up and looks around. She is in the grey, misty woods, as seen on the TV. She looks around and starts walking towards the trees. She looks back at the well. She starts running through the trees. She puts her hands to her head and bumps into a small tree. She changes direction, running. She stops and sees a wide open horizon of sea with long grass in front, blowing in the wind. She walks over as if mesmerized, then stops again, staring at the sea. As seen on the tape, a woman in a long black dress falls off the edge of the cliff. Rachel breathes deeply and slowly steps forward. Waves crash on the rocks below. Rachel looks down. A tear rolls down her cheek. She shakes her head slightly and swallows.
Rachel! Can you hear me?
I can hear you.
Rachel looks down again at the sea crashing on the rocks below. She has a pained expression. She shuts her eyes and tilts her head back. She stretches out her arms like the woman in black. She launches herself off the cliff. The crashing waves come closer. An eye opens wide.
Rachel! Rachel! You're here? You're here, Rachel.
Of course I'm here. I followed your voice.
What happened?
It's over, honey. She's not coming back.
How do you know, Rachel?
I know. I promise.
Rachel has been lying on the sitting room floor. She sits up and hugs Aiden.
I promise.
I love you, Mommy.
Promise me something.
Yeah, anything, Mom. Anything.
Just call me Rachel. At least for a while.
They embrace. Rachel looks anxiously over Aiden's shoulder at their reflection in the black TV screen as she holds him. Outside, there's a new moon in a pale blue night sky. The sky flashes and a ring briefly appears. The end.
Humanity's last survivors attempt to fend off the zombie hordes besieging their fortified city. Land of the Dead, the latest zombie fest from Ghoulmaster George A. Romero, starring Dennis Hopper and John Leguizamo, plays tomorrow at 10:15 on Sky Movies 3.